FYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey loyalty program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com for all your vintage toy needs. You can also find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Minimize your costs and maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com.
Transformers for your listening pleasure, TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, if you take the chorus stop. Transformers,
defenders of truth, robots who fight. Hello, everyone, and welcome to TFYLP, Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode number 203, recorded June 10th, 2016. I am your host, Daron Land, a.k.a. Weirdwolf. Along with me this evening is Headmaster Dawn.
Hey, buddy.
And Moroni Prime, a.k.a. Jim Black.
Holy crap, Voltron is awesome.
That's not Voltron.
Close enough, darn it. But we get some decent toys. This is got the words.
Similar colors.
Yes.
The color palette is there, at least.
Yep, I tried.
Well, those of you who are watching the video for this kind of see a little bit of a different thing from at least from my video. I'm actually broadcasting from my living room this evening because I've got a new laptop and I'm testing it out, because if this is going to be my studio on the go, I want to see if it'll go through the paces. So... hopefully everything's working great and I'm sounding okay. So that's why I'm in here tonight. We're also going to be talking tonight about the forgotten toys, the toys that we had as kids, or may even have still have today, that people just don't talk about too much. Or also toys that throughout the years they may have had a short time in the limelight. They were popular for a very short period of time, and then all of a sudden they just drop off the face of the planet. You know, we'll try to come up with a few of those as examples a little bit later in the show. Also, I kind of want to apologize for last week. You know, a lot of people were expecting us to be live last week, but such as live shows and people having lives and everything, sometimes it's a little hard to get a number of people together, and I really don't want to go on live with just two people unless it's like an interview or something. So we couldn't get enough people together last week, so I put together a clip show, and hopefully it was entertaining and helped whet your appetite for this week's episode. But I do want to apologize to those who were expecting an episode last week that was live and did not get that. It happens from time to time, although not very often. I want to also remind everyone that we are on Twitter at TFYLP. So if you are watching us live or listening to us on the audio version, which also is also now available on Google Play Store, under the music section, just search for TFYLP. You'll find us. But if you're listening to us and you want to comment or have a question for us, you can send it to us via Twitter at TFYLP. And we're also on Facebook, and we have a thread that's pinned to the top right now for each episode that we do live. It will be pinned to the top of our Facebook group for Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. And if you comment in that, one of us is always looking at it during the show and we may mention your comment or question during the show. So if you're watching us live, please feel free to interact with us. And we hope that you enjoy the show and maybe you might think of something or learn something that you didn't learn of before or think of before. So let's get into our topic tonight. We're going to talk about forgotten toys. And Don, you suggested this idea. I think it's only apropos that you kind of lead us into it. What's your idea of forgotten toys?
Well, it's every line has their favorites, and Transformers is no exception. There's those toys that you are constantly talked about: Optimus Prime, Megatron, Starscream, Bumblebee. Thanks to the movie years, just the toys that you always see in every line in some fashion. And then there's those little favorites that you feel like no one else but you loves, or maybe you don't play with them all the time, or you might not haven't touched them for years, but when you find them, it's like, oh yeah, I've got this and I like this, versus why do I have all this Armada? things such as that. And I just thought it'd be nice just to show people what we have as far as little gems, little things from our collecting histories that they're not the big names, they're not the big characters. Some of them are barely even characters at all. But maybe that'll help people at home remember those little hidden treasures in their collection.
The unsung heroes, if you will.
Very good on that one.
You have your little gems.
Little Jimmies. Little R-Truth action there for you.
I'll start off. I'm trying to get one of my photo bucket pages to load so I can provide that with a link to something I can't pull down from where it's at now. But I'll start with what I've got here. Having collected for as long as I have, there's some figures that are just little things I remember. For those of you that live in the South, most of y'all remember a little chain called Brindles, Kellogg's Children chain, like Best products used to be. Man's Catalog Showroom, things such as that, or service merchandise, for those of you that might have lived up north, where catalog shopping was the big thing back in the 70s and 80s.
Wow, you're dating yourself, man.
Yeah, I know. went to a Brindles with my friend Bobby back in high school, picked up these guys, $18, Fastlane and Cloudraker. Love the Autobot clones. They're simple. But I like the colors, the red and the gray work well. I like them better than the Decepticon clones just because, it's just the vehicles look a little more like vehicles than the beasts look like beasts. Admittedly, Cloudraker is my more favorite of the two because I like the jet mode. But again, Autobot clones, they're not thought of that often, but I always like them whenever I run across them.
I'm kind of the opposite. I'm partial to the Decepticon clones myself. I always liked Pounce and Wingspan because, to me, they did look more like the beasts that they were supposed to. I liked the Wingspan, how you could, splay his wings out, and he just looked so awesome to me. And the fact that the things that made them different in their alt modes, you could somewhat hide them in the robot modes from the front view, and which helped lend to their clone gimmick and everything. And I always liked them for that. They were great toys.
Yeah. Another one I don't have many. I've got a couple here. Everyone knows I'm a G2 fan. Maybe not quite the level of Plasticon, but I am a G2 fan.
Don't say that name too loud. He might pop on.
Plasticon.
The G2 the small Decepticon jets, Afterburner, and then or Snipe as for outside the U.S. as he was called, the small Decepticon jets, I think they're not as innovative as Cyberjets was as far as the sheer amount of posability you get from a Cyberjet with the ball and socket joints, but from a design style, I love their aesthetic. For the small figures, they have great transformations.
They're almost Aerobot-esque in their complexity.
Yeah. I mean, literally, you know, each some of them have enough little folds and twists that they would put it on par with a basic aerial bot. And I mean, literally, in the time I've talked to say that, I'm in robot mode. And you know, the colors aren't the, you know, traditional G2 colors, but they're just nice molds, and I wouldn't mind seeing these again. But you know, it's articulation nowadays versus then, so you have to sort of go a little retro.
Well, the thing with G2, especially early on, before they started making, you know, strides with ball joints and even light piping, I think the thing that set G2 apart from most everything is they focused on deco. And yes, I mean, the neon colors notwithstanding, I think that G2's decos, they just gave it a little extra, you know, oomph with how detailed they got with some of the decos.
Yeah.
I liked the Afterburner that you showed there always, because I mean, he's got that striking color of blue.
Yeah.
And the stark yellow. Yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah, the Blue Angels kind of theme they were going for. Another one going G1 here, and probably the most ridiculed G1 toy there is. But I've always loved them for some reason.
Get ready, Brett.
Jump starters. I know that everyone laughs at them. They're the ones you buy for a quarter to give a kid, you know, keep your kids happy. But I've always liked the design of Top Spin and Twin Twist. I've liked the way they look. The color palette is pretty. Yeah, the jump starter part never usually worked right unless you just had that switch in the perfect position. But when I bought Apex and Gemini from Mech Ideas first, a four-way into figures, those are some absolutely phenomenal jumpstarter homages. I would like to see Generation Deluxe's new jumpstarters, just because I would like to see what they could do with this design in a more modern look.
Not necessarily the jumpstarting gimmick itself.
Right, exactly. It's like Top Spin is always my favorite. I prefer him over Twin Twist. It's just he's got such a great silhouette, and the face is basic. It's just he's got a great look to him, and I love those colors. Mm-hmm. You know, it's simple, but it's effective. My last two, I'll save the one for last. Everyone knows I am not out there on the front lines picketing for more Beast Machines. Everyone pretty much knows that. I am not out there saying, we need more Beast Machines. No.
Oh, come on, Don. Everybody knows you want another Supreme Cheetor.
I do.
Put it on your shelf.
Okay, I told this story a few weeks ago. I opened up a tote. I saw Supreme Cheetor. I literally got so sad, I closed the lid, put the tote back in the closet, and was too depressed to keep looking for stuff to sell for the rest of the day, because I had actually almost forgotten I owned that piece of crap. So thank you, Cheetor, for depressing me.
At least he does, he's not such a piece of crap that he has one hanging from his forehead like Night Screen.
Yeah, true. But this is probably one of my favorite Beast Machine character figures anyway, because it wasn't a character in the show. Night Viper, the snake. Snakes. There's only been really two snakes, Corrada from Beast Wars 2 or Neo. I always get them two mixed up, so forgive me for that. And Night Viper. And this is just a phenomenal design. Something so skinny and lanky, and yet they get a really good looking snake and a good looking robot out of the pair. And he's just actually she. I believe in canon she's a she. I believe.
Does it say it on her text back on the text?
No, it says him, but I believe either in Japan or in the comic, there was a gender change, like for Airazor. I believe. I may be wrong. But Night Viper is one of my favorite small little Beast Machine characters, just because, you know, the look and the design and the kind of robot you got from such a look.
Quick question, Don.
Yeah.
You mentioned Night Viper as well as Karada, and it got me thinking. Technicalities aside, would Quick Strike qualify?
Not really, because he's mostly Scorpion.
Yeah, it's just his tail that's a cobra. I'm thinking just actual snake snakes. Oh, honorary shout out to Raksha and Avatar. Who she brought Avatar as until Avatar just got too big. Avatar was the yellow and white boa constrictor that she always brought to the early BotCons. I think Avatar has passed away by now, but just honorary shout out to a real boa constrictor that was, you know, fun to pet. Go ahead.
See, we've already struck a chord with listener Eric Dupuy. I'm sorry if I mispronounced that, but he just posted on Facebook, "So much nostalgia in this episode. Love it. Lost so many of my original G1s as I don't really pick back up collecting until the mid-2000s in my mid-30s. And so many of those originals were lost in yard sales in the 90s. He had the Autobot Decepticons and clones, and also the Jump Starters. This is such a nice trip down memory lane. So you've already hit a chord with somebody.
That's awesome. I'm glad.
You pronounced it right.
Yes.
And the last figure I've got, there's tons more. I've put a link in our chat for Duran or Jim to share. Of one of my walls that has a lot of figures on it that are niche figures to a lot of people. But this is my last figure for in person. It's very orange.
Huh.
It's flaming orange.
It's not Sunstorm.
And it's not Sunstorm. It is a Transformer figure. Again, this is not one that I pick up and play with all the time.
Really?
But it is one that's on my shelf, and it's like, I like this. It's neat, it's silly, but it's fun. Johnny Storm, Fantastic Four, Marvel Crossovers, Jet. I'm sorry. I love this figure. I think Johnny Storm is a flaming, translucent, and orange Jet with feet. His heels are made of flames. His heels are made of flames. His hair is on fire.
On fire.
And he's got missiles. And he has the Fantastic Four symbol in the middle. So, yeah, I mean, it's a really weird character. But I just think if you're going to have a Marvel crossover, a flaming orange transparent Johnny Storm as a Jet is about as spot on as you're going to get.
Okay, Don, I've tried pulling up the link here, and I don't know what's going on with this link.
Right, let me try one other thing here.
I'm looking at a wall with a sailboat, some motors, some tailspin.
Yeah, that's it. Is it working now?
I've got all kinds of ads up here.
Okay, try that second link. See if that works. It shouldn't be any different, but
this one.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that is my wall in my bedroom that has a lot of just, again, non-Transformer things. Visionaries, one of my favorite all-time lines, a footnote to a lot of people, but look at the card art. You know, the card art was painted card art.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you had the pinnacle of hologram technology in the mid to late 80s there. The Tailspin figures, you know, by Playmates at the time when they were doing the Disney license. Unfortunately, I did not get any of the Darkwing Duck at the time, which I regret. The 2000 X He-Man line, some really
which
great
I loved. Those yeah, were some great sculpts right there.
Some great figures when the box wasn't full of He-Man and Skeletor. Some of the later run Teen Titans figures from the good Teen Titans series. Aqualad, Speedy, and Robin as Red X, and then on the side that's facing that you really can't see, there's some. If y'all remember Trendmasters, when Trendmasters came out, they have the Battlestar Galactica license, and I've got a couple of their variants of their Cylons there as well. That, again, not a lot of articulation, but they look really good. So, you know, this is a wall of, like, my, you know, oddball, you know, just blast from the past.
I'll tell you, I kind of forgot about Visionaries, Knights of the Magical Light there. Just real quick story. The town I'm originally from, Paris, Illinois, not too far off the square, there used to be this this small shop. This lady sold beauty supplies and hair stuff. And anyway, part of her shop, she had somewhere along the lines came into a load of old toy stock from the Kmart that was once there years ago. Yes, we had a Kmart in a town of 9,000 people.
Won't see that today.
Yeah. Among these were things such as, like, food fighters and, like, the TMNT vehicle that, like, shot the pizzas out, the pizza discs or whatever.
Pizza thrower.
Yeah, that thing. And, like, 30 carded Visionaries figures.
Oh, God.
And I was between jobs at the time. And by the time I had money to be able to spend on something like that, they were gone.
Yeah. Because, you know, it's just, to me, that kind of card art is kind of a lost kind of, you know, artwork. But, you know, again, that's just some non-Transformer stuff I wanted to point out.
I agree. You know, even with Transformers, you know, the card art, it's like Jim Sorensen, you know, he's dedicated a lot of his efforts into, you know, the artwork of Transformers. And, you know, like the Masters that you pointed out, Visionaries, they had such great artwork, and it's often overlooked, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes the overlooked things isn't just the toys themselves, but it's the package that they come in.
Well, before we move to GM, since you've brought that up, one thing about last year before TFCon, I purchased the Transformers Legacy book, which is the box art of G1. I read that on the way up to TFCon Chicago 2 years ago, I believe. You know, when I wrote up with Brian Kilby, but I believe that book has now dropped to, I mean, I'm, because you brought up the art of the art of the G1 boxes, that book is now down to $19.50 on Amazon.com.
Nice.
And if you love the old G1 box art and you want to see some stuff, not just the stuff that you might have had and thrown away, or stuff, but also stuff that you've never seen before, that is a phenomenal book. Looking back at the card art and the artwork in general, for $20, I really cannot recommend it enough to anybody that has even a passing desire to look at some of the old boxes.
I'm always a huge fan of the box art of Transformers. I'm trying to find it real quick here. I shared it just a few days ago. Here it is. Let me share for the video viewers. Let's see. Present to everyone. For example, like, you got shrapnel here.
Yeah.
You know, I love trying to recreate that with, like, the toys. You know, this is Fans Toys Mercenary. You know, I try to... You got Kickback. I mean, just look at the detail that they went.
Yeah, I mean, this is literally, when they say it's lost art, this is art, because, I mean, it's just the detail and, you know, the colors and the contrast and just.
This shrapnel image, though, has always actually been one of my favorites, though. I mean, just the action pose. Some of them, another one of my favorites was Duocon Battletrap. Yeah. I always loved him as well, just the way it looked. And the artwork always made the toy look way better than it actually was.
Well, you know, Jordan, that's something I bet would look great in a collected edition, is recreating the famous box art poses using the newer toys. If there's a newer version available, I bet that would be a really interesting compare and contrast.
Yeah, box art and packages in general were a large part of the play experience. For myself as a kid, because we had rabbit ears, so we had to rely on what episodes that might air if we can get the channel in that day. I would have the different boxes and be looking at the box art on the back and just kind of fantasizing while I'm smashing bludgeon into I don't even remember who I had back then, Topspin or someone.
Well, just imagine trying to get those channels on a UHF circular antenna on a town that's about 65 miles away. So that was it, because that's the only way that I could watch Transformers was out of a station that was about 70 miles away on my little black and white 13-inch television.
WCIX Channel 6 in Miami, Florida is what I watched a lot of G1 on. I'll never forget that. I had a thought on the brain or on the box art
and the
thing. Yeah, well, the thing is like I said, the box art always made the toys look way better than they actually were. But one of the things I'm enjoying, and this I think I mentioned this whenever Marcelo Materi was on several weeks ago, is that the individualized artwork for the characters, mainly in Combiner Wars, but we saw a bit of it toward the later generations toys like Jetfire, Rhinox, those guys. But the newer guys in Combiner Wars were getting individualized artwork for each character now, and I love seeing that again. I think Prime had some of it. But it didn't seem like it was more toward the forefront. It's like you pick up a Combiner Wars character, you've got this whole comic book in the background with this huge artwork of the toy on it. And I've always enjoyed that since they started doing that. And it harkens me back to the Generation 1 days whenever you'd pick up a box and one of the first things that you'd see the toy inside, but that artwork. If a toy had great artwork, it caught my eye. And it's one of the reasons, like I said, the Duocons earlier, it's one of the reasons why I love the Duocons, because even though their toys were kind of their box art made them look interesting. And that's how, and it's part of the play pattern with the toys is that, in your mind, you're using your imagination. And when you play them, for Battletrap, his truck didn't split in half and become 2 feet. It was just he had a truck foot. but as you played, you could imagine, well, his cab split in half and would become actual feet. It was part of your imagination, and it helped inspire that imagination. And that's one of the things I'm glad you brought that up, Don, with artwork, is that artwork is a part of
the history.
And it's not often talked about.
Don, since you brought up Battletrap and imagination, you just brought up some kind of repressed memory, I don't know from where, but I remember as a kid, a neighbor kid used to live next door to my great-grandmother, and until we were over there, we would be playing Transformers or Hot Wheels or something. And this kid had Battletrap. And I always used to imagine that it was like it wasn't like part of his body. He was just riding in the bed of the pickup. Just in the back of the truck.
Yeah. A few listeners, Eric Dupuy, he commented, he said, it's much easier to pose figures in realistic poses now than, say, in back back in G1, when you might be lucky to have anything more than shoulder joints, broadside. You know, you got elbows.
G1 broadside cannot pull off his box art. I'm sorry. Not unless you break the figure and then redo it.
There's a running joke that dates way back to BotCon 2012 in Dallas with a lot of the older TFYLP members like Nats May and Insane Galvatron. We were walking back from eating dinner, and I found a lone just red brick just laying on the ground, and I picked it up. I mean, it was just a loose brick. I picked it up and I said, "Hey, look, I found a masterpiece broadside." And I still have it to this day. And if a lot of people view a lot of my photographs, from time to time, you'll see Masterpiece Broadside pop up in some of my photos. Like recently, Optimus Prime was holding the American flag, standing on Masterpiece Broadside. But Robert Waller says he used to throw away a lot of boxes and now saves the boxes and card backs so he can go back and look at the artwork. He tosses the bubbles and inserts. I'll speak clearly here in a minute, but save the paperwork card backs. I mean, it's so much part of the toy now, you know. But Jim, let's talk a little bit about your picks.
My picks for forgotten figures?
Yeah.
I forgot.
Yeah, you forgot. Because you weren't prepared. You need to prepare.
Oh, I'm always prepared. Always.
Just for the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Well, actually, one of them I was going to bring up was going to be Top Spin. Because that's one of the two jump starters I had as a kid. I never did get Twin Twist, but I had him. It was a forgotten figure. Pincher, Pretender, a little lobster crab thing.
Yep.
Yeah, not lobster, right?
Yeah. Well, one of the better smaller Pretenders.
Yeah.
Actually, I think he was more of a crab, was he not?
I'm not sure. He had the pincers, but he also had like eight legs.
Octopunch was more of the crab.
Okay, you're right.
Yeah, Pincher was the actual
score. That's what it was. Yeah. I'm sorry, I forgot about the tail because that whole section detaches and goes onto the shell.
Yeah.
Which that was a neat thing in itself because that was a pretty massive accessory that wasn't even actually the figure itself.
In some cases, the second generation smaller Pretenders were actually better than some of the larger Pretenders, as far as just complexity for the size.
And I would say had Bludgeon, but that has in years since become more of a major player. Being in the comics and all this and the other. And hey,
a wild Rick Alvarez appears.
Hey, sorry to join you guys so late.
Spider has entered the tournament.
I had guests over, plus, kids and stuff like that, so.
And new house. And
New house, hot wife, so,
We're all broadcasting from unusual positions today. You're from your garage, and I'm in my living room.
Sitting on my tractor.
Sitting on my tractor.
We here at TFYLP, we can do all kinds of positions. Never know what to expect from us.
Dawn.
Anywho, moving on.
Anywho, I had
here. Enjoy more blazing orange. Enjoy more blazing orange, Johnny Storm.
I don't know. That looks an awful lot like Captain America.
Yeah, but Jim, you have more picks.
Yes. Had those two. And, I also had I know it's off Transformers a little bit, but had quite a few GoBots as well as a kid. Had Warpath and Zemon were a couple of my favorites out of those. Those are some of the larger GoBots.
I think whenever I was a kid, the only GoBots that I had that were actual GoBots were Spoons, the forklift.
Uh-huh.
And I think I had a Tux. And I'm wanting to say, and I still got it, Jeeper Creeper.
Jeeper Creeper.
Yes.
You want a Tux? Behold, one of the best GoBots ever.
The GoBot names were just like, they didn't care.
They're just like, but that's part of the charm. Like Man of War. It's completely spot on, but I love it. But I was hoping to get a Tux in the Machine Robo Masterpiece line, but I'm not, and I'm sad. But maybe we'll get a third party Tux at some point.
It's like, what are we going to call this one? Let's call it Fi-Tor or Cop-Tur.
Well, you know how they actually chose the name for the GoBots, don't you? For the different characters?
Let the interns do it?
No, they actually took a Webster's Dictionary and they just flung it at the wall. And whatever page it landed on, they threw a dart at it. And that's what the name ended up being. I mean, it could have been some random name like Chicken Wing or something, you know.
Spacey.
Yeah. But for all the grief people give GoBots, dollar for dollar, there's more complexity in these GoBots / Machine Robos than a similarly priced basic or a throttle bot.
Lots of die-cast, too.
Yes.
They especially made use of die-cast. I think more so than Transformers, in my opinion.
Well, remember, it was a different era, too.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Speaking of GoBots, or Machine Robo, got here Eagle Robo new line. Those who are viewing on the video, see he's pretty clean, yes. Top and bottom. Really neat transformation. He's a little bit fiddly up in this area here, especially when you get in the shoulders and some kind of thin bits. But as long as you're careful with him, he's pretty good. He's got some die cast on him. They kept true to the die cast.
Have the wing issue that the original leader ones have with the droopy wings?
No, not really. Actually, I think these fold up. But we'll see. The thing that's another thing too. Let me get on the screen here. See these gray bits here? They peg in just underneath the wings, and so in plane mode, they will help support the wings. But in robot mode, these actually come out and the missiles attach inside these and form a rifle.
I'm kind of hoping a third party does I doubt they will, but the head on that is good, but it's not very leader one looking.
It's true to the toy.
Yeah.
There's a thing like the Minicon.
Yeah, Don, yeah. I'm with you. I'd love to see the show accurate heads.
Yeah.
But I mean it's really good. If you're looking for these, check out our sponsor CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Where you can pick up this toy for about I think 40 to 45 bucks on Captured Prey. Great toys, great prices, great service. CapturedPrey.com. And also check out Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection while minimizing your costs at MegaToyFan.com. You can find Mega Toy Fan at all the biggest toy conventions year-round, such as BotCon, TFCon, and many others. For your vintage toy needs, check out Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection while minimizing your costs.
And I'm sure Brett probably has a lot of just boxes by themselves. So if there's that one figure you've got from your youth that you still have, but you don't have the box, he might have a box or he might can find you a box. So that way you can sort of – because a couple of years ago, this is a real quick tangent, one of my favorite mask figure characters is Bulldog. Came out during the racing years. That's the half truck. A guy at BotCon had a boxed Bulldog for $65. And I mentioned how I wish I could just find the box by itself. He sold me the box for $10. So I had a complete Bulldog with the packaging inserts and the box. And it was just so great.
Listener Frank Marzegliano, I hope I got that right, He says, GoBots, I watched that cartoon recently. How awful. As a kid, it was great. And he had a few of those too, more poseable or so that, he thought they were better. You know, I mean, it's, you know, it's, I kind of feel the same way. As a kid, I enjoyed the GoBot cartoon. It's a little bit cheesier, even more so than Transformers. But I think the thing I didn't like is that most of the toys, unless you got a Super GoBot, were so small compared to Transformers. And I think that's one of the reasons why Transformers always held my attention more, is because I got a bigger toy and I felt like I was getting more bang for my buck. Even though sometimes complexity, some GoBots were actually pretty nice. Yeah.
Well, I don't know about you, Rick, but I'm kind of hoping someone, if they do a head for that Leader One, they do like the little clip-on energy blasts that you can clip over the wrists and have like the little, you know, like the little squares and like a little piece of plastic that looks like the GoBot energy blasts. Yes, it's. I'm putting too much thought into this. I know
that aspect.
I would just like to see like a gift pack of like heads for all the guys. I don't think they're going to make any money just selling one head by itself, but
yeah,
they sell a gift pack for all the heads. That also incentivizes you to buy all the other guys too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they and people might if people could get show accurate heads, they might would actually want the figures more than they do now.
I mean, you know, right now I'm planning on just getting the Eagle Robo and the Bike Robo whenever it gets back, gets to stores. I like them; they're really great toys. But the nostalgia factor for the GoBots isn't quite there for me as it is with Transformers. I love these guys, but I love my Optimus Primes and Megatrons more. I have to say, well, I just got these for a small nostalgia factor and because they're cool. I mean,
well, my problem is I like the ones that are not really the big name ones, like the Man of War and Tux, and just, you know, that came out towards the end of the line, and you know, those aren't going to get remade probably because they're just the minor characters, but you know, it's nice to see them back on the shelves.
So Duran, let me ask you this: if they throw out a character like Turbo, Scooter, Crasher, Copter, are you going to stay away from those like the main characters as well?
Maybe. I mean, it all depends. You know, like I said, the main show characters. Yeah, they do. I mean, I saw that. I think Turbo is going to be in like one of the second or third wave, and I'm really tempted on that one as well. Maybe a Jeeper Creeper, since he's if they ever did that, or Spoons, because I have some sentimentality to those.
I want Vanguard.
It's just I don't know. I mean, I don't want to delve into another line that I don't have a strong nostalgia for. I mean, the only other line other than Transformers, well, there's two lines that I have a strong nostalgia factor for, is Masters of the Universe and Dino Riders. Those are the two that really, outside of Transformers, those were the three big toy lines of my childhood.
Well, see, that's why I got Kokomon, is I didn't know if we'd be even getting a Crasher or not. Or even if those Machine Robo revivals was even coming out at the time.
Yeah. So Jim, did you have any more that you were going to mention?
Well, after having ventured into GoBots, it kind of threw me off my train of thought there. But one other that came to mind that I had is actually there's a couple I had. Were kind of no names, you know, under the radar, not very popular, and easily forgotten. Were some of the MicroMaster transports I had. Well, between my brother and myself, we had Flat Top, Erector, and Rough Stuff. And Rough Stuff, was
Erector.
Right.
I like Rough Stuff. Actually, had a semi convincing looking jet mode.
Yeah, he was my personal favorite out of the three, and I. You know, as a kid, I always wanted some kind of Optimus, but never could get one. My brother had Power Master Prime, but we lost it a year later in a fire. But, you know, Rough Stuff was like the closest I ever came as a kid growing up. And so I used to pretend it was like his like half brother that never gets invited to family reunions. They don't like to talk about in company.
But, was your play really that complex as a child?
I had lots of free time as a kid.
That's why he learned. That's how, why he wound up the way he is today.
Well, considering I used to tell you, or the, considering I told you that I used to sit there with my boxes and packages and use those as part of my experience with the toys as a kid.
During Look at this giant billboard of me.
Boxes. You know, they would interact with the characters that you see on the box, and he would walk up to the box and talk to the character on the box. I mean, it was that involved. But anyway, Rough Stuff, I think, was probably one of my personal favorites out of that. The transformation was a little simplistic. I mean, his head flips down and his legs flip up, and that's about it, and he plugs into the trailer. But for what it is, it made a decent-looking mode in both modes. As a truck, you know, you had the wings flipped up with the guns mounted to the sides, and it looked almost like a, kind of a car hauler or something of that nature.
Missile truck, yeah.
Well, right, but I was 7, 6, you know, I
yeah. Overload was
right, absolutely. The that's the one we never got. We didn't have a chance to get the other one because Kmart took them off the shelves by that point. But anyway, had that, and then the jet mode was also pretty neat, with the exception that he had to sit in there, and it looked more like a weird radio flyer with wings, but it still looked quite a bit like a jet, more than many other figures.
I always liked Flat Top the best.
And I'll tell you, one thing I did notice, I'm not sure which of the Titans Returns figures it is, but there is one of them that's it's the head that comes with one of the little vehicles, not one of the larger deluxes or any of that. And it has a striking resemblance, in my view, to the Rough Stuff. It evokes memories of Rough Stuff when I look at that.
I think you're thinking about the one that comes with Hardhead.
I'm just thinking either that or Loudmouth. So I know in the U.S. release of the vehicle, it's either blue or green, and then the Takara release, it's the other. It's one's blue, one's green. And that fact kind of got my mind working. I was like, maybe it's a vague nod to that, loosely. But I'm probably thinking too much into it. I don't know.
You think too much, Jim.
Yeah, I think it was the U.S. release that's blue and the Takara release that's green, because I think it comes with Hardhead in the Unite Warriors or whatever they call it over there.
I'm starting to see smoke come out of your ears, Jim. Stop thinking.
I think
that's from the hot dumpster fire that's up there. It's all good. It's normal.
I think one of my favorite things, which I think a lot of people overlook, or I don't see that much talk about on the forums, are the MicroMaster bases.
Mm-hmm.
People mention Countdown, okay, but like
Airwave,
Skyhopper was. I had that as a kid. I loved it. That was my favorite absolute Transformer. At the time, because I only had him and a few other MicroMasters, and everything else was just packed away in storage. And there's so much you can do with those, so much play value you get out of those MicroMaster bases.
You know, I didn't even know until I was an adult, and I saw the, I think it's the zone sets where they use the MicroMasters, the bases. I did not even know as a kid, and this, you know, I was a kid, so, I really didn't look into it that deeply. I didn't know that they connected together and made like a little city playset. Had no idea.
That was one of the great things about the MicroMasters. And I think a lot of toy lines kind of forget that interconnectivity play.
Well, we are getting that back a little bit with Titans Returns anyway.
Absolutely.
You know, toy lines in general. Okay, so with Titan Returns, yeah. With Combiner Wars, yeah. You can mix and match. But you think about the other toy lines that are out there, and other than like the which every toy line seems to do the build a figure or the hero masher style figure, there's nothing where you can have a playset and that playset connects to another playset and to another playset. The era of those playsets is like gone now.
Funny you should say that, I don't know if you guys saw in like the past week or so, there was that German, I believe, review for the upcoming Power Master Optimus Prime from the Ultra Magnus mold. And I sat through and I watched a review of that and did what I could to use the audio on my phone for Google Translate and tried to follow along as best I could. But from what I could tell, it almost sounds as though he has some kind of interconnectivity to the remolded now Fortress Maximus. So it was Metroplex.
Yeah. Blaster and Soundwave and Prime will connect to Metroplex.
See, because I didn't know that. I thought it was just his speculation, but I just wanted to make sure I pointed that out, that was a possibility. So I'll be interested to see the implementation of that.
I believe Optobotomus already has a review up on YouTube for Fortress Maximus. He got one from Australia since he's already out in Australia. And I believe he has a review up online now.
Yes, in the chat, Don, yes, that is the one I was referring to. It comes with hardhead, but in the United States, it's going to be released in blue, at least the vehicle is. I don't know, do you want me to screen share it? Or,
I just was wondering if that's what you're talking about or not.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, looking at this thing, it screams Rough Stuff's jet mode to me, and then in the other configuration, it resembles a trailer, and that looks like Rough Stuff's double barrel cannon, that little blue mounted cannon snap down into the thing.
I see it.
Absolutely. That's what I think of when I look at that. I mean, the wings and everything. So when I pick it up eventually, because I'm going to pick it up, that's going to be my Rough Stuff. That's what.
Yeah, who knows? It might be a store exclusive repaint or something. Hey, you never know.
I'd be cool with that. I'd be cool with a gift pack. You know, put you know, six heads in a package and sell them.
Yeah. Well, Rick, since you worked with Hasbro on a lot of this stuff, as far as not this stuff, but as far as Transformers in general, are you like me? Do you see gift sets? Because over the past couple of years, like Walmart and Target, over the years, had little gift sets, like the Ultimate gift set that had that G2 Jazz and the Legends Thundercracker, things like that.
I worked on that one.
Yeah. Oh, that's a very good set. That Jazz in those colors looks really good, by the way. Do you see Titan Returns, these smaller figures, maybe helping bring back these holiday gift sets? Do you think that's a possibility?
I think, those were retailer demanded stuff. So, like, the retailers would say, hey, we want a special item for Black Friday. Or we want a special item for the holidays. And they would say, it's got to be, the box has to be this dimension. We want Star Wars, the Transformers, we want My Little Pony, whatever. They're all going to be on an end cap. So those gift sets came about through retailer demands. What I can see them doing is much like the Mini-Cons in the current Robots in Disguise line,
the four
taking
pack.
Those heads and putting them like four in a set with like a vehicle or two vehicles and making like – and just pumping out gift sets like that.
Well,
at a standard retail.
Well, that would work because all you need is any one Titan Master Deluxe figure, and all the heads are going to work. So, if you're a grandmother or a grandparent or something and looking for something for your grandkids, heck, a $10 pack of heads and a $10 Deluxe, and you've got a lot of interchangeability and playability there in just for $20, which I think is what Hasbro is kind of shooting for.
Well, I think, yes, they're shooting for that combined play, that connected play. But it also lets them share those. It gives them more possibilities as far as like retooling or repainting figures where you take this guy's head and this guy's body and you put them together and, hey, it's a new figure now. It's a new character now. So I think that also helps them on the back end to offer more stuff like those gift backs to retailers.
Yeah, it'll be
weird exclusives and those weird redecos in them.
Because with San Diego coming up before too long, it's possible we'll start seeing some holiday themed sets being shown off.
Or at least all be covered in chrome for no apparent reason.
Well, he is called Chrome Dome.
Well, I think we've already seen the SDCC exclusives.
Well, no, I Transformers. Mean, oh yeah, but no, I mean, revealed at San Diego for the holidays. Oh. You know, maybe is Primal coming over for a U.S. release later on this year? Maybe, you know, are we getting anything for these sets for the holidays? You know, just there's no telling at this point.
I wouldn't be surprised if Primal does come over eventually, just because there's no licensing fee attached to that. They just have to retroactively pay for use of that tooling.
Yeah.
Hasbro does. So it's not like they have to go to GM or Volkswagen or anyone and say, hey, can we use this car over here? It's pretty much just a monkey.
Can we use the Silverback Gorilla's likeness? Make it official.
It just sort of strikes me as odd that Hasbro has no known plans right now to do the Beast Wars anniversary in the U.S. And I'm just wondering, is that because they're planning on just doing the Takara Masterpiece as their exclusive, but they just can't say anything yet?
You know, Beast Wars is... While I was there, Beast Wars was seen kind of like as the red-headed stepchild. I was there during the time the Hub was coming up, and when we heard about the Hub finally, we're like, oh, hey, we got to do like a midnight run. We got to put Beast Wars on and Beast Machines, and it's like, it's got to compete with Adult Swim. And they're like, no, we're not going to put Beast Wars on. It's like, well, why not? That's some of the best storytelling and Transformers innovation that we've ever had. It's like, it's off-brand. What does that mean? It's like, well, they turn the animals. We're not selling animals. We're selling cars and trucks. So that's why I never made it onto the Hub. It was too off-brand. So I think that's why you see you're going to see Takara doing this and not maybe Hasbro taking on the masterpiece. I mean, when that Rhinox came out in Generations, I was really surprised at that. But I think that was one of the last figures that Old Man Archer kind of pushed in the line. So you gotta make this guy.
Like Rhinox and Rat Trap and
Terminator. Right. Well, and I think the Hall of Fame also helped those particular guys too.
Well, you'd think that Megatron would have got a push too. That would have been because he's pretty damn popular.
Well, there was that Fall of Cybertron. Grimlock. Yeah. That had the Transmetal Megatron head put into the tooling as well. It just never came out, unfortunately.
Yet.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's anyone that remembers that tooling exists.
Wow.
I bought that Grimlock 3 times and took it back 3 times. I could not make myself enjoy it until the Target exclusive came out that made it look so much better than when that deco.
And whenever that came out, I wanted to get it, and every time I saw it in the store, I'm like, I'll pick it up later. And then it went on clearance, and I'm like, I need to get it, but I want this more right now. And by the time it came around, I'm like, it's not available anymore. But let's get back on the topic of forgotten figures in our collections and over the years. Rick, you mentioned the MicroMaster bases and everything. Are there other toys that maybe that you even have in your collection that you absolutely love, but they just don't get talked about hardly anymore, if at all?
I'm going to default to Beast Wars again. Razor Beast. Razor Beast came out in like the first offerings of the basic assortment for Beast Wars back in whatever it was, 94, 95. And I didn't think much of him. He's a warthog. Okay, cool, great. He's on the shelf. But then, I think it was Dreamwave, and this was one of the only good things that came out of Dreamwave. They started the Beast Wars comic book, and they made Razor Beast a core character. The story was told through his point of view, and that instantly elevated my Razor Beast up to like be such an important character in my collection because of those comic books. It's like those Beast Wars characters, that those other Fuse Wars that exist out there, those all those characters that were never on the show or in the comics, there are some really amazing toys in there. And 20 years later, I can go back and I can really appreciate that Razor Beast, not just because of the story, because it's a good little figure that whatever it was back in the day, you know, $7.99 or $6.99, it's something that's just I don't see a lot of people talking about those figures.
Yeah, usually you hear people talking about Randy, who has the GPS so bad that, you know, it can shatter just from being dropped on a carpeted floor.
Well, any GPS for that matter.
Yeah, that's true too.
I might have just, speaking of GPS, quick side note, I might have just bought a Black Sarek in the box this morning.
You're not sure?
It's a long story. I got a buddy in Japan right now.
When you get it in, Rick, take it and go.
Like that. Right. So I'm like, just open the box, take a picture, let me see it, and if I don't want it, then I'll sell it.
As soon as it's exposed to sunlight.
I mean, for the price, it was like $1,800. So for the price, it was right. It's just a matter of what the condition is, which I probably won't know until I have it in my hands.
Yeah, Schrodinger's Black Zarek.
It's neither complete nor incomplete. It's
till you open the box. Yeah. You're terrified to open the box.
I am terrified of opening that box and seeing what's missing or missing parts. I'm not too worried about. It's the broken parts that make me upset.
Some assembly may or may not be required.
You know, I want to wish you the best. Also, I hate you, but I wish you the best anyway. So,
lots of people hate me, Don. It's fine.
No, but you have a Black Zarek and I don't, and I need one. But
wait, Don, you don't have a Black Zarek? How did this happen?
Well, just because by the time I found out about Master Force and Victory, there was other stuff I was getting other than a Scorponok repaint. And it wasn't until later on in my collecting cycle that I realized how rare and how expensive he was. And by that point, it's like, I can't pay that, you know, because even back then, when it was going for $800-$900 even back then, and I just couldn't do it.
So outside of Razor Beast and the Micromaster bases, you have any others, Rick?
Nothing, no.
Absolutely nothing.
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 I will throw in a question about alternators out there to you guys.
Ooh. Okay.
So
you have piqued my interest.
Yes.
So seeing how we have a lot more characters coming up in the Masterpiece line, is alternators something that will substitute for some of those characters that aren't there? So is alternators on the verge of making a comeback for characters that Hasbro, Takara, or third-party guys won't get to?
I think that might depend on the figure.
In my opinion, no. The size, because see, the hallmark of the newer Masterpiece is that they are generally, and I use that term loosely, in scale with one another, you know, like with MP10 and the other guys. The alternators are just way too big for that, like Hound. I mean, Hound somewhat has the look, but I just don't see it. I think alternators are great, and I love alternators as standalone toys, but fitting them in with other lines within the franchise, I just don't see it.
Yeah, a lot of people since Masterpiece started going to the similar scale, a lot of people that I know have been putting down alternators in BattleTech. They were two this, they were two that, da da da. It's sort of like with me and 07 Prime from the movie. Yes, by this point now, it has been replaced by better primes. But you had to have that point to get to the point where we are now. you know, there is that linear progression, because wibbly wobbly timey wimey doesn't always work. So you had to have 2007 Prime to get Revenge of the Fallen Prime, and so forth and so on. So I think Alternators and Vinyl Tech, like you said, Duran, as a standalone line and as a point in history, the figures are still fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Alternity. Alternity is a very niche line as well, but I think the figures still hold up. If third party wasn't as prevalent as it is now, I think some of the Alternators and Vinyltech might substitute, like, or even Alternity.
Meister, that thing is genius. Yeah. I love that toy.
I said this back when they were talking about the Bumblebee. I said, well, you can always use Alternative Bumblebee as a fill-in in your Masterpiece line, and I got a lot of flack over that because, oh, no, that'll never work. Yeah, the aesthetic's different, but, I mean, it's scale-wise, it's not too bad. So, I mean, you know, I wish people wouldn't write off those two lines as easy as they do now, because we needed them to get to Masterpiece, I think.
And you know, think about it. Without Alternators, we wouldn't have Kiss Play either.
Well, now, there are – I mean, it's like we got that Hot Rod from that Mirage mold, and that's a very good-looking figure.
Yes.
Yep. Now, it's almost – to me, it's a shame that third party wasn't as big of a deal during the time of Alternators as it is now. Because I can see some third-party guys having made amazing accessory kits
to some
of these Alternators, like the Hound, right? Making the weapons pack for Hound so you can have in vehicle mode look more like the G1 with the cannon and the gas tank. And, but that's like an era of Transformers that I wish – it'll never happen, but like third-party companies could go back to and just give us a gift set of all the cool accessories we need for Alternators.
Kind of like animated, like there's so many animated characters that need so many little bells and whistles and stuff. And it's just it's just not there anymore, unfortunately.
Well, you know, I've got a few unsung heroes in my collection, and then we'll talk a little bit about some that just aren't talked about a lot throughout the lines. You know, Alternators is a great one. I'm glad Rick brought those up because, you know, you just don't hear much talked about them anymore, especially since the Masterpiece line is taking up a lot of those already. Arguably in a better way. But when you look back on Alternators, I still think fondly on them and how rabidly I looked for those things as they came out.
Oh, dear. I mean, we thought, this is as good as it's going to get.
Yeah.
We thought, it'll never be better than this.
I remember taking my MP01, and they did scale rather well with him.
Yeah.
Like I said, the Meister, the Jazz, that thing was phenomenal. I love that toy. And I would collect two, one to open, one to keep sealed. That one, I actually got three because I got one to open, one to keep sealed, and then I got another one for the Repro label set that had the Jazz labels, you know, the number 4 and all that. I put those on it, and I loved that toy. And I still love it to this day.
I agree.
I wouldn't mind going back and getting it just to have as a one off in my collection.
The
in my opinion, the Mustang Grimlock was actually not bad.
The Grimlock was pretty cool.
Had so much trouble transforming that mold. I just had so much trouble with that.
The waist piece and the chest was kind of a headache, but it looked great in both modes. Yeah. The only thing I really hated about it was how easily the paint on the top of the roof would chip and scratch. Yeah. And that seems to be an issue.
And just, I got to show y'all this. I've got him transformed back into the jet mode. Oops.
Nice. Yeah.
But I mean,
you know, one of the first figures that is in my collection that you really don't hear a whole lot about is this guy.
Oh,
Break. You know, I mean,
the ultimate definition of a shell former.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm not saying, and that's the thing about this episode, is that for one reason or another, some of these toys aren't talked about, and it's not necessarily that they are flawed, or that they're terrible toys, or they might not even be great toys. This, you know, by all intents and purposes, is not the greatest Transformer ever, and I wouldn't rank it up there with the greatest Transformer ever. But it is one of the best alt modes, in my opinion. I mean, I have this thing about weird beasts and weird alt modes, and you just don't think of a Penguin Transformer, and there is a Penguin Transformer. Great. I mean, yes, he is a shell former, and for those of you who don't know what a shell former is, he basically a robot wadded up inside this Penguin, and in robot mode, he's just a robot with Penguin parts hanging off of him. And it's essentially like an egg.
It's like a Kinder Surprise.
Nice. Yes. You just don't eat it. You know, you lick on it.
I remember seeing a diorama where someone took the Micro Machines Orca playset, and it was chasing a Break.
Wow.
Yeah, I know how I'm setting up my collection now.
Ideas spawned in TFYLP. But yeah, I mean, Break, he's a neat little toy. And surprisingly, this little bitty basic size figure it goes for a lot more than you'd think it would. I mean, I think they average about 30. But I have seen them go as high as 60 and 70. I believe I gave about 30 for this guy.
When that line initially came out, was that a pretty in demand and popular figure, or?
I'm not quite sure.
I remember when Beast Wars.
I guess what I'm wondering is, you know, it's a shell former, but was it also a shell former shell former?
When Beast Wars Neo came out, I think it was almost under the radar. And not a whole lot of people cared at the time.
Well,
so
I think
I saw a lot of those toys just sitting around, yeah, like specialty shops.
Yeah, because some of the modes from the molds, rather not modes, from that series, you know, made it over here like Universe and RID and this and the other. But that's not one of them that we ever got here in the States.
Well, I think what helped those figures gain popularity is when the Sonic Kong versions started hitting. Sonic Kong is Takara's Korean affiliate, their partner on making the products for Korea. And the quality is now, Ricky, you've probably dealt with a lot of Sonic Kong stuff in the past, like I have for Brave. I have never had a problem with anything Sonic Kong that was just not as – that was
– Their stickers suck.
Well, okay. their boxes are a little flimsy.
Yeah. But as far as the robot – Yeah, the figures, I've never had a problem with the figures. Yeah, their plastic trays and the boxes are beautiful, but they are a little flimsy. But I think when all those Sonic Kong versions hit, when they were a lot cheaper to import than the Japanese versions, I think that's when everybody started getting their big convoys and their long racks and their Magmatron sets.
You can go to Captured Prey right now, and I hate to plug again, but hey, you can go to Captured Prey right now, and I think you can get the Corrada versus Saberback set for like $20, and it's in the box.
And those figures for $10 a piece, that they're well worth it. They're well worth it.
They are. They are. But also on the weird beasts, and again, not exactly one of the best toys to ever grace the shelves, but you know, I showed it in the pre-show, but you know, I like it simply because it exists, and that's the fact that there is a unicorn Transformer, Battle Unicorn. You know, the most fabled of all mythical animals. You know, I mean, you got this. And I actually, back in the day, found one in the wild. And that was not a BBTS exclusive one. I wish I still had it. But it was one of those in the wild. And the one that I bought off of BBTS, I actually opened. Yeah. I bought a case
of them.
And you know, I remember a time when this toy, you'd think that it would be highly collectible and highly sought after simply for that fact.
See, that's why BBTS went back and had them do another production run, is that figure was impossible to find in that last wave. I mean, it was one per case, and if you found that case, you were lucky. And BBTS actually went back to Hasbro and said, hey, make us cases of these battle unicorns. And they sat on them forever.
They clearanced them for like $5 a piece, didn't they?
Yeah. Well, I bought a case and I did pretty good, you know, trading and wheeling and doing and stuff like that with them. But it's a great little figure, and it's probably a step below Night Viper to me as far as
There was a way to determine whether or not they were BBTS runs, weren't there?
I thought the BBTS had a sticker on it.
Oh, well, this one does not have that.
Okay. I found two in the wild. But I wasn't aware of any variation with the Big Bad Toy Store ones.
Yeah.
I'm with Don, though. I think there was a BBTS sticker placed on them, I think. I could be wrong on that. If any listener out there can verify that, please do on our Twitter at TFYLP or Joel, our Facebook group.
Yeah, or Joel at BBTS, you know, just let us know. But yeah. I am still waiting for them to pull that Battle Unicorn and Mock Kick out of storage and make MLP Transformer.
Please, God, no.
No, I'm sorry, but I'm saying for the MLP community – For those collectors that collect MLP, and again for the bronies, that would be an awesome multi pack. You know, you could have Mock Kick, you could have Val Unicorn,
or you could have a mock shy or a Flutter Kick.
Well, as of 2012, which is I think when I left Hasbro, I remember. All those Beast Wars molds were still available. They were still able to be used. And I kept pushing to the collector's cups, there's nothing going on with these. You guys should use some of these. And so those molds are still out there. They're ready to be used.
Yeah, Mock Kick, though, that he was tough. I had to pull him apart at the waist, transform each half, and put him back together again.
At BotCon 2004, the unofficial BotCon, because they also did an OTFCC in 2004. Yeah. At that BotCon, the transforming contest consisted of who can transform Mock Kick correctly.
Oh, what's God, fastest, I forgot about that.
It was correctly.
I forgot about that.
That's why you just take it and just fling it at the ground. Say, there, it's correct.
But... You know, another one of my unsung, I guess, heroes also was in the battle for the Spark line and Beast Machines. And I got to give it an honorable mention simply because I loved the toy. It was a great little toy, in my opinion. And also, I'm a sucker for translucents. And it has to be Hammer Strike. Hammer Head Shark.
As soon as you said translucent, I knew it had to be him.
My favorites.
Yeah, he was really, really nice. And my next one that is also – it's actually a three-pack. I didn't even know it existed until probably about 10 years ago. And it actually was several years after they were released. And whenever I saw it, I'm like, oh, my God, I got to have those. But the price was just never right for me until this year at BotCon. And – the Clear Car Brothers, the BotCon Japan 2000 box set.
Beautiful set. Gorgeous set. I love them. Yeah, show them off.
Slide this out and show them off.
Oh, God.
There they are. They're in their translucent glory. Absolutely beautiful versions of these toys.
Drawn?
And
now take them and go like this.
They're intact. And also, the rubber is intact, too.
Yeah, those are actually pretty sturdy, even with the clear plastics involved. Because I've transformed all of mine several times and haven't had any problems with them. But that's just a beautiful set. And so many people, Robots in Disguise 1.0, so many people don't talk about the line in general. Because, you know, I've said that Fire Convoy, not counting MP01 and MP10, you got to take them out of the equation to be fair to like comparing Prime figures, because they're like a different level. To me, Fire Convoy is the best Optimus Prime figure outside of the Masterpieces. I like him better than any other Prime,
Everyone on RFC totally disagrees with you, Don.
Yes, they do, but it's their prerogative to be wrong. I'm sorry, but you know, if they want to be wrong, they can be wrong. He's better than Galaxy Convoy. He's better than Armada Prime, but there's not much that isn't.
Don. When you specify Fire Convoy, do you mean just Fire Convoy, Super Fire Convoy and the combination with God Magnus?
Maximus Prime. Convoy.
I'm saying that Fire Convoy, R.I.D. Optimus Prime, Fire Truck Optimus, whether he's combined with Magnus or standalone or Sunshine Yellow from Sam's Club.
Costco.
It was a Sam's Club. Yeah. Because see, the quick side note. Two different divisions of Hasbro was doing the Sam's Club exclusives, but neither division knew that the other one was being done. That's why the colors are not more compatible in Godfire Convoy mode. But yes,
I don't know if I buy that. I call shenanigans on that.
Well, that's what I've heard through the years. Anyway.
I call shenanigans on that because they ship together.
Yeah, but anyway, that mold, that Optimus Prime mold, the fire truck mold, is the best Prime they've ever done, other than the Masterpieces.
Better than Armada Prime.
Drops his mic and walks off.
Infinitely better than Armada Prime. Better than Energon Prime. Better than Energon Prime, better than Galaxy Force Prime.
You're telling me that thing's better than the world's smallest Optimus.
I'm telling you, it is the best Optimus Prime mold.
It's up there for me. It's up there for me. I wouldn't say so far it's the best Prime. I'd say, of course, you got MP10 is the best Prime, in my opinion. And then next, I would have to go with Galaxy Force Prime. Because that was just a beautiful
kibble, though.
I know, but I mean, I just love the way he looked. He just looked badass. And then I would go with RID/Super Fire Convoy and all them.
Yeah.
But it was really, really awesome. Great mold. But my last figure that I actually have on hand is more of an example of the line. Than specifically this figure, even though it is a great figure. And that is the Robot Masters. You know, I was totally on board with these back in the day whenever they came out. I'm wanting to say, what was it, mid-2000s?
2003.
Yeah, early to mid-2000s whenever they were out. And essentially they were just the original designs kind of scaled down, pretty much transformed the exact same way. Like this Optimus Primal, let me get it right in frame here. This is a burning convoy, essentially has the same kind of detailing and everything as the normal Optimus Primal, transforms essentially the exact same way. But I just love the smaller scale of these guys, and they were so neat. And I think they were the true gem of the Robot Masters had to be the Seekers, in my opinion, simply because I believe it was the first time that you had integrated fists with the transformation of the G1 Seeker design. And I believe they actually had knees, I think, which
yeah, and
I,
it was,
I don't.
It was pretty close to the G1 transformation, but also with the cartoon style head.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And if you got the I love the Thundercracker had the prettiest blue on it, and I don't think that had been reproduced until MP11T here recently with the new Thundercracker that just came out. I think that the anime blue was captured just right back in the day. A lot of people said, "Oh wait, no, it's too bright. It's too bright." And I'm like, I don't know. I pull up an episode on my cart on the TV, and I hold it up, and I'm like, it looks pretty darn close to me, you know. I guess it all depends on with what your TV screen's calibrated with, but it looked pretty darn close to me, and I just loved the Robot Master Seekers and the little quirky things like the black Star of Victory saber and all that. Just great toys. I wish you just don't see them talked about anymore. I don't think anybody even mentions them anymore. They're just forgotten in the histories of time. But they're out there.
The annals of time.
The annals of time. The Jim Blacks of time.
Robot Masters was a great line. It had some really great repaints in there, mixed in with some new molds, but then it just kind of went away. It came out, there was like two waves, and that was it.
Yeah.
And they
weren't that expensive right off the bat. Yeah. You could get each one, what, about $30, I think, I want to say.
I got real lucky about three BotCons ago. All of our friend Tony, we all know Tony Prieto, he had the last Robot Master and the last version of Dreadwing, or G2 Dreadwing I needed was the Robot Master version. And I was able to pick up those two from him, and that was the last version of Dreadwing that I did not have, was a Robot Master's version.
What about the Megatron version?
Well, that's not a... Well, I've got basically... I've got BB and...
What?
Well, not all of us have access to your phenomenal sources, Rick. So, you know, I can't get the 1 out of 10 made figures.
Well, you
that's
know,
okay, Don, I'll let you come play with mine.
Well, that's I don't want to play with that too.
But you know, the Robot Masters, those are actually some that I'm thinking about going back and tracking down. I mean, there were some kind of turds. Honestly, I think Convoy / Optimus Prime was one of the weaker ones because I think the hips and the thighs could have been done better on him, and the truck mode was a little bit weak. But again, the Seekers were great. You had your Victory Saber, which you had both Victory or Star Saber and Victory Leo. Transformed pretty much the same way. They even combined. Great little toy. I want to go back and try to get some of those.
It's funny that we say that not a whole lot of people talk about those figures, but if you try and get some of the repaints, like the Black Megatrons or especially the Black Star Saber and Victory Leo, you'll find those still go for a pretty decent amount of money on eBay, and they don't often show up.
Convoy cost me about $60. So
yeah, well, I paid about $50 to Tony for the pair of those Robot Masters because the boxes had been open, but they were complete. And the cheapest I had seen up to that point on eBay was about $100 for the larger larger part, and about $50 for the smaller one. And that was to me a lot for that version.
Yeah.
Thing too, that I don't think
people who are completists out there like you that, well, I gotta have it. So
I don't think the original had this on it, but some neat thing was like Automorph before it was Automorph, like the face panel actually automatically morphs down into the chest panel for the robot whenever you move it down, and then whenever you move it back up, it becomes the face again. Now, on the original, I think you actually had to physical furniture itself.
What's strange, Dern, is I had all three of the Robot Master Seekers. Hydra was nice enough to help me pick those up from Japan 1 year. And as soon as Classic Starscream came out, I sold them Robot Master ones because I liked the Classic Starscream. The transformation is so much better than the Robot Masters one. And I knew they would be doing repaints of them. We just never figured out how many they would be doing.
And then they would have to make new molds of those. But, and that's another thing, too. Let's talk about some of the newer toys that, they came and went. You just don't see them talked about anymore. And, Alpha Bravo, yeah. But I'm not talking maybe that new. But, and there's a reason for it, because I think we can blame the masterpieces. And we've talked about this on an earlier episode of TFYLP. But I think the earlier classics, you just don't hear them talked about anymore. Because at one time, classics were the bomb. I mean, everybody wanted classics. They were going for big prices on eBay. The Seekers were selling like hotcakes. And now, and I think Brett can back me up on this. I mean, people don't want them that much anymore. But there's some great toys.
Think about what's happened since then. The explosion of third-party companies has killed some of those, especially some of the repaints that are a little unnecessary. And then you also have those characters being redone by Hasbro and Takara.
Classics Devastator.
Hot Rod. Cyclonus.
Remember the Devastator used that from the Energon mold?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the classics, I'm talking mainly about like the original molds. But, that Seeker mold is still great to this day. I mean, it's not the greatest Seeker mold, but it's still great for what it was.
But now, if the younger people collecting now are tired of mold fatigue with Combiner Wars, they should have been around when the Seeker mold started.
Hell, Starscream himself got, three or four different releases?
Yeah, but we were begging for all those repaints.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. But, one of my favorite first molds, and again, this is something RFC gives me a lot of grief for, I do not think Tankor/Octane is that bad of a classics mold.
I'm with you, Don.
Yes, it has some issues, and yes, it's a traditional triple changer that each of the molds will suffer for the combined whole. But I don't think it's as bad as everybody.
My biggest complaint with it is that it's too small.
Yeah, I think it's a better looking toy in robot mode than classics Grimlock.
I think the thing is that we were all so excited about getting that Octane figure. Yeah. It was a surprise that Octane was even coming out, that he was even on the radar.
Right.
And there he was, and he was a triple changer. So I think that had a lot to do with it. But you look at it now, it's like, yeah, he's really small and out of scale. But you put him next to your generation Splitswing, and it's like,
But back then, there wasn't a sense of scale within, because again, like we said, for that way lies madness, because up until MP10 started setting more of a standard to go by, if you really only collected stuff that was in scale within Transformers, you had a very, very small collection.
Yeah, I mean, the classics line, you just don't see it talked about anymore. You don't see people just clamoring for those characters, because I think Masterpiece pretty much scratches the itch and then some for those. And now we got Combiner Wars, a lot of these great, great homages, especially to the Combiner guys. Maybe not so much to the main cast like Wheeljack and Trailbreaker, although those are great, great versions of those. But if you're going to do classic style versions of the Combiners, Combiner Wars is where it's at. You know, I mean, you don't get any better than those.
Well, it's like today. I had a Classics Retgar on eBay. He was a spare one because I was buying carded. I was like you, Duran. I was buying one to keep carded because of the artwork in the box, and one for loose. But with me getting so much third party right now, I really don't need duplicates of all that stuff. So I'm trying to sell some of it off. Retgar went for $18.
Wow. Loose? And see, the thing is that Retgar, he is one of the nicer looking ones, especially from the later generation / classics line. However, he had that big flaw in that he was very fragile, especially in the handlebar region and everything.
Yeah.
So that, I think, kind of hinders his price a lot.
But, you know, I am keeping some of the stuff, like I'm keeping Smokescreen carded. Yes, the masterpieces are so much better, obviously, but I just love Smokescreen's deco, and I love the card art and all that. That's why I was buying the card art. But yeah, people just don't talk about classics. Unless now there are now like Kinkei Dinobot, and even Dinobot and Cheetor. Dinobot goes for a lot of money right now. The Kinkei version even more. So there are still some classic figures. Heck, I sold my Cheetor and Dinobot for $95 for the pair.
And I bet most of it was Dinobot. The least of it was Cheetor.
Yeah, I doubt Cheetor. There was much Cheetor in that price. But, yeah, I mean, definitely just...
Don, was that before or after Generations Rhinox?
That was after. Yeah, it was after. So, but, yeah, it's... I've still got a lot of classics, but I'm looking at... I like this... But I have the masterpiece, which I'm sure a lot of people are doing too, especially with Sideswipe and you know all the ones we've gotten our masterpiece fix for. But it's still a great. I mean, I paid above retail, and I'm a cheap ass bastard. And I paid $20 a piece at a comic book store, which was about $5 above retail at the time to get those. And then I saw them the next day at Toys R Us.
Well, and then we'll see the thing with Retgar also. You had Retgar, and then you had Junkie. And then if you got the United version, you could get Scrap Heap, which had another completely different head.
Mine broke. My so Scrap Heap broke right out of the box.
Ooh.
Man. Ugh. Whenever I actually owned those molds, I didn't have any issues at all with the ones that I own. But I actually – I know a couple people that did, and – you know, it's really unfortunate because they were pretty good toys as far as looks goes. Also, in a related note, kind of pre-classic-y, I guess, something else you don't hear a whole lot of are Universe, like Universe 1.0 and 2.0. Those weird repaints of, like, Beast Wars characters, like the Silverbolt. That thing's gorgeous. It's like G2 Beast Wars Silverbolt, you know?
Yeah. Oh, hey! Sorry to bust in, guys. Got a little bit of breaking news here. This is Chris from RFC. Y'all know him as XV. Apparently, they are showing off the masterpiece Cheetor prototype at Tokyo Toy Show right now. Nice. It's been reported. It's a no photography event, but we also know how that usually works out.
We know what Cheetor looks like. So.
Yeah, you know, I'm guessing spots were involved, and
yeah.
So,
he,
but
he looks like a cat.
Yeah, but I just want to let you know again. Thanks to Chris over there at RFC. He just tweeted out that they are showing it off. So
breaking news.
It's
Cheetor.
Listen,
no pictures allowed.
Yeah,
being shown right now.
But at least you know at least it's something to look forward to seeing. You know,
somebody somewhere is seeing something that we can't see.
Right.
Yes. And we'll it's
better than a darkened silhouette.
It's actually worse than a darkened silhouette because now there's people who are seeing it and they're not me.
It's better than a bald guy standing in the way.
Man, really, you just killed the mood, Don.
Excuse me.
It's like,
I was just trying to tell me
it looks good.
I'm just trying to give all the Cheetor fans something to look forward to over the next few days, as I'm sure we'll see small thumbnail JPEG picture somewhere on the internet before too long.
Oh, it'll be teasers like they did with Combiner Wars Computron. It'll be zoomed in, so it'll just be a picture of yellow with a dot in it.
Either that or a very pixelated, grainy version of it.
And then they'll show another one a week later. It'll be a different part of TTOR, and it'll be a patch of yellow, and the dot will be in a different part of the picture.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm really hoping that Takara and Disney work something out where they can get all these Beast Wars masterpiece guys redecoed as Toy Story characters.
Okay. Oh, the T-Rex in green. Yeah, Megatron in green.
Slinky Dog, how?
Oh, that would be Cheetor right there.
Yeah.
Well, you want Beast Wars characters? I want Disney Afternoon characters.
Eric DeBuy said they will release the image one pixel at a time.
Because, you know, I saw the pictures of the Toy Story Shugokin combiner. I just want Disney Afternoon characters now. That's what I want.
But, you know, going back to those Universe 1.0 characters, I mean, you had a lot of great stuff in there. That was actually like that depth charge that they had with that weird camo deco. That was actually my very first exposure to that mold before I actually got an actual Beast Wars depth charge. It was pretty good. And the deco was just phenomenal. You know, it goes back to like what I was talking about with G2. One of the hallmarks of G2 was the deco, not just, you know, the later advances that we got in G2, but they focused on the decos and the colors. Yeah. And honestly, it may go down to just, you know, they handed it off to an intern, like Rick has said before, they handed it off to an intern, say, here, pick colors for this, and we'll release it.
Well, your inspiration is South Florida.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, Duran. If they take Masterpiece Primal and they do him in Universe 1.0 colors, will you buy him?
Masterpiece Primal? Oh, in the, like the Rockless Primal?
No. Masterpiece Primal.
Like the OTFCC comic version.
No. The
Rodimus Primal, basically, is what.
No, the Universe 1.0 Primal.
Yeah.
And with the art, with the yellow and the brown.
That's Rodimus Primal.
Rodimus Primal.
Yeah. It had the red, the yellow. The Walmart exclusive.
Was it?
No.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's what everybody refers to as Rodimus Primal.
Had some green on it, too, if I remember right.
But yes, if you're asking, yes, I would buy it in those colors.
Absolutely.
But the one color scheme I would be most anticipating would be this one, the burning in the Masterpiece Primal. I got to have my Cherry Jolly Rancher Primal, you know. But, yeah. I'm pretty sure that's what you're referring to is the Rodimus Primal. The one that had like a lot of yellows and reds and stuff on it. But it was the original Beast Wars Primal model, right?
The 96. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people commonly refer to as Rodimus Primal.
I actually didn't know he was actually called that, to be honest.
Yeah. It's an unofficial fan name, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was called Optimus Primal.
But, you know, I think we have kind of run our course tonight. But, you know, there's some great things that we've talked about tonight that were, you know, unsung heroes, things you just don't hear about, talked about today on either the forums, Facebook, wherever. And it's great to look back on the history of this franchise, this great franchise, and think and look at some of the toys that, you know, hey, at one time, this was the creme de la creme. This was the great stuff. Robot Masters, great example. You know, a little short release in Japan in the Transformers line was hot whenever they came out. Now you just never hear anybody talk about them. Alternators, super hot when they came out. Everybody was looking for them. Everybody was clamoring for them. We got two Ravages in that line. And both of them were great for different reasons. You just don't hear people talking about them anymore. I'd love to hear fans what your ideas of great toys that are either in your collection or great sublines within the franchise. What, in your opinion, is something that people just don't talk about anymore, but you absolutely love? That one toy maybe you have on your shelf, nobody talks about, nobody cares about anymore, but you like it for whatever reason. We'd love to hear from you. Post it on our Twitter, at TFYLP, or on our Facebook group. We'd love to hear from you there. Any of you guys have any closing thoughts on our topic tonight?
Yeah, I'm just going to say, you know, if you have these strange little things that you love, whether it be a Johnny Storm Human Torch Transformer or a Jump Starter or whatever, if you like it and not a single person on the planet does, who cares? Because it holds some kind of value for you. So if you like it, display it, be proud that you own it, and just remember that's part of the fun of collecting, these little gems that make up the collection as a whole.
Well said. Collect what you like. Don't collect to impress other people. And don't collect to be a completist if that's not how you want to collect.
And this is a final question I'm going to pose to each one of you guys. And some of these toys that we talked about tonight, they might not be the creme de la creme of our collection, but let's say you were to sell off your entire collection, but just keep a few figures. Would any of these figures, I've done it too, but would any, I mean, I'm talking, you're getting out of the hobby, but you want to keep a few of your toys. Would any of these toys that we talked about tonight fall into that category of I'm going to keep that particular one?
Absolutely.
Nope.
If I could keep the top 500, yes. If I could keep the top 100, probably Fastlane from the clone. I mean, Cloudbreaker from the clone set. And
you break up the clones, you'd sell his brother? How dare you?
Hey, if it had to be top 100, I got to make sacrifices. I'm sorry. But it depends on how many I'll be allowed to keep. But a few of them I would, just depends on what the limit was, just to be honest. But if it had to be top 100, probably just Cloudbreaker. Unfortunately.
None of the ones I mentioned tonight I think I would keep. If I were selling everything off, the only ones I think I would keep are there's less than a handful from my original childhood collection. Those aren't going anywhere. My Weird Wolf, Devastator, Cyclonus, and my Dinobots. Pretty much anything my Dinobots. I mean, my Masterpiece, my Fans Toys, those aren't going anywhere. I'm so in love with those. They can have my babies. I don't think anything my Constructicons. I don't think I'd ever sell those. I am, however, thinking about unloading my TFC Hercules if I can, just because I'm wanting to get the Toy World one, that giant one. I'm pretty much with you guys. None of the ones I talked about tonight would actually make that list of I got to keep it. But there are parts of my collection that I look at and I enjoy for one reason or another, but you know, they're just not talked about in the circles today. And I thought it was important to have an episode. Yes. Circle takes a square actually. I thought it was important to mention these toys, and get people to thinking about little parts of their collection that maybe they just haven't thought about or looked at in quite some time for the simple reason that nobody talks about them anymore. Like I said, Alternators, Robot Masters, Break the Penguin, the Human Torch. So whatever it may be, we'd love to hear from you on our Facebook group, Twitter, wherever else you want to talk to us about TFYLP. Guys, I want to thank you all for joining us this week for TFYLP. We should be back next week for another episode. So tune in then. For Headmaster Don, Rick Alvarez, Jim Black. I am Deron Land. We'll see you next time on TFYLP.
Don't forget to check out my TFCC Ramjet review.
This has been Transformers for your listening pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.